this is such a great time of year where we get to start thinking about Thanksgiving and spending time with family and then Christmas right around the corner. And it's never too early to start thinking about ways that you can actually do something to help somebody in need. That's why I love that we've partnered with Food for the Hungry and the Chicken of the Month Club. Now, this is a subscription-based option, kind of like you do like Socks of the Month and things like that. This is where you can send two chickens to a family in need for only $28 a month. And you might be thinking, why chickens? I don't even know the first thing to do. If someone gave me a chicken, I'd be like, what do I do with this? But these people in these developing countries, they know how to maximize that resource.
Yeah, and one other good thing about having chickens is that they lay eggs. I mean, I'm pretty sure, not that I know much about chickens, but that they lay eggs every day, I believe.
A lot of eggs, yes.
So,
quote her on that.
That's helpful.
And that's how families can earn extra income, by selling eggs. Plus, the nutrition for families that deal with food insecurity. Don't tell the chickens about that, but it's a great source of protein. And they can also sell the chicks to other families as well. And so there's another income opportunity as a side hustle for them as well.
Another great thing about chickens is that they multiply pretty fast. So when they're selling those baby chicks, the families can get the income that they need that can help them reach their goal even quicker.
And another thing I love about this, it's not a handout, it's a hand up. And if that kind of resonates with you, it's a great thing to do this holiday season. You can help provide two chickens every month to a family for just $28 a month. You can check it out at fh.org/Wally Show. That's fh.org/Wally Show, or text the word chicken to 91979. That's chicken to 91979. We'll send you a link. Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast. All that stuff we didn't get to during the show today. And it's not leftovers, because we actually talk about life stuff here more so a lot of times than on the regular show, because we don't have a lot of time for it. This will have to be a faster cast. I do apologize for that, because I have to go warp some young radio minds. I'm pretty excited about this. I get to go and talk to kids. Like, I love radio. I love talking about radio. I love being involved with it, because it's been my passion. It's been my career for 28 years now, I think. And so I was talking about this today. I'm like, I've been doing this job for longer than Gavin has been alive.
And then plus some.
When yeah.
You started your job, and then 2 years later, little Gavin was born.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Yeah, and I mean, so it's funny, because we were in that meeting yesterday. We were talking about that meeting, if you've listened to the podcast. So, and I hear all these, you know, young kids in their early 20s talking about stuff, and I'm just about to come out of my skin, because it's just such a different world, the way that they're coming up in this business, you know. And this business, man, like, you, when I was coming up, you did everything, and you were so happy to have a job. You couldn't even fathom that you were getting paid to do this, and you worked so many hours. And then when you hear people go, I'm overworked, you're like, oh my gosh.
But there's so much room nowadays for people to, like, you know, people have anxiety and people have this and they struggle with that. And not to say that
people have always had anxiety.
I know.
We just dealt with it and didn't talk about it
or ignored it.
But is that good?
There's a balance, right?
Yeah.
I think there's a balance.
I agree there's a balance, but I think we need to make sure that we state that.
People that really have anxiety, absolutely. Okay, absolutely. Like, Rock, I would have never thought that you would have anxiety. And then when I watched you walk through it, it made me see it in a completely different fashion, and it was real. Mm-hmm. I mean, but there's a difference between anxiety and anxiousness, stress, nerves.
Like everyday life situations.
Right, and so many people just lump themselves into, I got anxiety, No, you don't have anxiety. There's crippling anxiety that can wreck a person's life, and I watched it with you, and I was worried for you, you know? And like, that was like, that's anxiety. You got that. Mm-hmm. But other people are like, I'm nervous about this today. I have so much anxiety. Like, you don't. You don't. Don't diminish the people that truly have it. You know, by
and I think that's a good
co-opting
point.
Off of it.
So I think that's a good point to make sure that we're clear on, that you don't believe that you should just suck it up, buttercup, no matter what, even if you're
not everybody. Me, I believe that for me, but not for everybody.
Okay. But I will admit that I think, in starting with millennials, going into Gen Zers, like, it's more acceptable to be open about anxiety and depression. And I will give you that we're very loose on those terms.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, but like you said, there needs to be a line somewhere, because I think how boomers handled it, or Gen Xers, whatever, they don't handle it well at all either.
Right, right.
There is a... You
see me
say
smiling.
Right, but
know,
you don't mean it.
I know.
You don't mean it. But it's true.
Right.
I think that those generations didn't handle it well. Millennials and Gen Zers aren't handling it well. They're somewhere in the middle.
And that's how life is. Life really should be lived more in the middle. I think that with millennials and Gen Z, and like you're saying, as much as this kills me to say it, the fact that people are more open about talking about it is probably erring on the side of good or health, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, for the people that really aren't anxious or don't have anxiety, but they feel they do, for those few, fine, whatever, you're co-opting. But for the people that need to talk about it because they really do suffer from it, so destigmatizing it in a way that gives them a place to talk about it is definitely a healthy thing.
Right, because, I mean, I can look back on, even in my own family, how some people didn't get the help they needed and they got dependent on other things.
Right,
and
absolutely.
So if helping involves talking to a counselor, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, that's great. That's healthy. That's what should happen. And I'm looking at someone.
It's so funny. Haley went up with me to meet Zachary Levi, and we were waiting downstairs before I interviewed him, and we were sitting down there, and I don't know how we got on this subject of counseling, and because she's been to a counselor, and I've always encouraged her, you know, like, hey, if that's how you got to process this, that's great. I want you to, I'd rather know you're okay and healthy and talk about it. So that's great. But she is like always hitting me like, man, maybe you should talk to someone. And I'm like, oh, your mom said the same thing. And she goes, I think Betty said that too. And I said, and she goes, well, shouldn't that be telling you something? I said, yeah, that everybody's wrong. And she's like, that is so narcissistic. She's like, spoken like a true 8 narcissist. She goes, you think it's everybody else's problem? I said, yes. Everyone else has a problem with me not addressing problems that I don't think are there. Like, that's it. That's the thing. Yes, that's the thing.
Wait.
And that's what I told her. She goes, well, I mean, you have problems you need to address. I said, but that's the problem. You say I have problems that I need to address. I'm saying I don't have those problems. I don't see it as problems. So for me, it's like, hey, I'm just doing life.
Okay. But let's say you don't see it as a problem.
Because it's not.
Okay.
I like me.
But let's say your issues that you don't want to name or claim.
Sure.
Are affecting others in your life that you love, then would you maybe seek some help?
Well, if I take the millennial path, they just have to navigate my other things because I don't need to, because remember, that's like, I need to tell you about all my anxiousness and my anxiety and my triggers so that you can deal with it. So I have the same right to do that then.
True, but I would admit that that kind of looking at it isn't love. And that's easy to do because millennials, you know, like, and people in general, they're not going to love anyone that they don't really know. Like, it's just easier for you to, you know, you need to adapt to what I need.
Right.
But when it comes to actual people that you do love, if people in your life that you love in your circle said, your issues are impacting me in a very negative way.
Right.
And there are people that you love.
Gotcha. I'm tracking with you.
Then what would you do?
I would have to look at that, and I would have to... I would have to then alter my behavior around them, which I have been doing to some degree.
Okay.
And because I don't think that it's necessarily something like things in my life. I don't think it's necessarily broken things in me or I'm this mess. Yes. Do I get stressed out about things and do I get overly passionate and flip out about little things? Absolutely. I own that. I own every bit of that. Okay. But all, like, a lot of the other things, like, I'm good. So yeah, could I go talk to somebody? Okay, well, how do I not overreact? Well, you do this, fine. So I can work on myself to not overreact around people that can't handle it. But what if I need
that
those people?
That can't handle it. Okay, once again, verbiage. Because you can't handle a situation, you have to lash out, show anger.
I don't like your Colorado Christian psychology degree. For the record, I want to be very clear about this.
I'm just saying.
You've gotten really good at it.
Making your own problems someone else's problems.
You picked all of life to not listen to anything. Like, you just kind of flitted through life and doing your own thing.
Okay.
Then you go to Colorado Christian University, you get the psychology degree, and you listen to to every stupid thing they told you, and you're now applying it. It's very frustrating.
So it sounds like you're being triggered by something. Yes. That I need to tiptoe around. Yeah. And make sure that you are okay.
Exactly. No, you're actually getting really good at this, Rob. I think I was telling someone the other day. I said I really think her time there helped her just be like. A better friend, a better employee, a better, you know...
communicator?
Smart. Yeah, I mean, and I think it's helped you and I. You know, we've worked together for so long, but I think mm-hmm. it actually has really improved our relationship mm-hmm. in navigating things before they become issues. Because before, we would go and do stuff, and then I would upset you, or you would upset me, and then it would all blow up, and mm-hmm. it would take 3 days to work it out mm-hmm. and stuff. And I think you instigating a lot of things has actually kept those... big moments from happening, and they've been smaller, worked through, and much
more
productive.
So here's the next thing that's been... No,
go ahead. I'm ready.
I'm just kidding.
I'm going to blow up.
I'm just kidding. Also, I still laugh about the last time we had a discussion.
Yes.
And at the end, I was good. I was happy, and I felt like this is a good balance.
Yeah.
But I looked over at you, and you were all sad and mopey, and I said, why? And you said... well, because I lost.
Oh.
Do you remember that? You saw it as a competition.
Everything is. Life is competitive.
Okay.
Yeah. See, we look at things differently. But anywho, speaking of looking at things differently and looking at the clock, yes. I want to share something with you from yesterday. So I'm not going to get to new stuff because there really wasn't anything that great. It's all COVID, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
All right. This is something I need to share with you. So yesterday we were talking about the Christmas Shoes, the song, and you went over the top with an opinion to be funny.
Yes.
And that's what you do in this job. And the more ludicrous you go, the further out on that limb you go, mm-hmm. the way you do this job is you stay there and mm-hmm. you start sawing the limb off behind you. Like, that's what makes you good at this job. And you haven't always done that because you'll go out to that edge and then you don't want to offend, so you run back.
Right.
But you stayed on it and you did not waver. And I was so proud of you.
That song just really irks me.
The comments you made about it. So anyway, this lady emails and said, I was appalled at your coworker. Shallow, ignorant response to the Christmas Shoes song. Obviously, she's never lost anyone. So she, what happened was, she took you making fun of the song and the bad theology in it and being over the top with it. She internalized it and was mm-hmm. like, I've lost somebody. This person doesn't know. And so she kind of made what you were saying like your problem now. Like she took that and made it like it was very personal to her, mm-hmm. which it wasn't that at all. And so she just went on to say stuff, blah, 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 blah. And I heard this is fun. Then it gets to a shot on the show. I've heard a lot of shallow and secular attitudes and perspective coming from your show. You're not my first go-to station. So like, she's just being like, I'm like, so that's fine, weird. Whatever. I can get you in my office, but after today, I'm going to do something else. And so I sent her a nice email back saying, I understand where you're coming from. I get it. If we're not the show for you, understand that completely. You've obviously said we're not your favorite anyway, so it's not really going to be a loss for you. But thank you for your thoughts. Not a problem. You know, mm-hmm. I get it. I see why you're upset, but let me tell you what I know about Betty. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's not her heart, you know, mm-hmm. kind of thing. So, mm-hmm. But flash forward to, this is why I want to share this with you. I want to balance this out mm-hmm. because it illustrates the show. So, today I got an email from Margie, and Margie says, I was driving to work feeling down when the Best Worst Christmas Song segment came in and turned that all around. Betty, you had me cracking up with the Christmas Shoes. She even goes on to say, I always thought that the song said, wouldn't it be wonderful if Mama meets Jesus tonight, as if her dying, oh dear, was a good thing with these shoes. So she's on your page, okay? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, she's just basically supporting you. But the reason I bring all of this up is, I've always said that this show isn't for everyone, but it is for someone every day. And some of the silly things we do trying to get a laugh, like, offend people, and it hits them the wrong way. And I can't control that, you know? You take what you take from this, and it is what it is. But then I also do know that somebody, she's like, man, I was having a really bad day, and this lifted me up, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you have two sides of the coin on the same subject. Mm-hmm. And that's why I really believe, like, we spend all this time getting offended about everything, but I'm like, you just have to be you, and you've got to do you, and you've got to just stand that direction, you know, and obviously you don't break God's laws, but you just go that direction and be you, and it does pay off, you know, and that, yes, you're going to offend some people, but then some people are going to be your biggest fans, and you cannot live your life, especially in this career, trying to please everybody, because you are never, ever going to please it.
True.
You got to please Jesus and me. That's all you have to do, Rock. In that order, I gave him top billing. But I thought I would share that with you, because I know, thank like you. You take those hard emails.
Yeah,
hard.
Because I do take other people's feelings into consideration. I never want to offend anyone, but I also don't want it to suck up all the fun either.
Sure.
So yes, of course. I mean, I haven't. I get where she's coming from, but I also, you can't take every joke to be
serious,
something personal,
right,
that's aimed straight at you, calling you stupid. At some point, you have to be secure in who you are as a person, how you feel as a person, know why you feel the way you do, and take ownership of that.
Well, that's what I learned. I've learned in the years of doing this job, and one of those things was one time we were talking about like the beach, and somebody was so upset that we would talk about the beach in this way because their friend died at the beach. And you're like, okay, now that is so not fair to put that on us.
Right.
Like, everyone can't tiptoe around a
we
tragic
talk
event
about
in your
anything.
Life. Right, you couldn't, you know?
Right.
And so you cannot do that. It's just, it's impossible. And then at the end of the day, you say nothing and you do nothing. You know, that's not healthy either. But anyway, I just wanted to share that fun, good one with you so that undo you. Because, like, I remember one time I got so mad. Were you here when we were talking about the thing about naming the license, naming the cars, and the guy called and was saying, I wasted the Lord's time today.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, you're stealing my thunder. I was so mad. I'm like, oh, you're stealing my thunder. And he goes, that's the problem. It's not your thunder. It's God's thunder. I'm like, oh boy. And then I just launched at that guy. That was so many years ago. That was years ago when I used to yell at listeners. I don't yell at them anymore. Except the other, like 3 months ago, I yelled at that. And I had gone a better part of a good year without yelling at anyone. That guy I yelled at. Like, he deserved that.
What was the line?
I remember.
Do not call me something.
Oh, yeah. You guys remember that.
Oh,
yeah.
Let's not start on that.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that was a good day.
Moving on. It's Friday.
I know, it's Friday. Okay, so what do you got?
So we're going to talk about another Christmas song, Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You.
I'm getting triggered.
Now, personally, I'm already sick of it, and the holidays haven't even started yet. But an NBC News analysis, he found out by doing some charts that this song is getting more and more popular as the years go by.
I believe it.
So you would think in any other trends, in any other music genre, everybody is aimed towards the new. The old is forgotten.
Right.
But when it comes to Christmas music, it's the complete opposite. The old is held onto because it represents
nostalgia.
Yeah, and you have memories that connect with those songs. But anyways, so it shows that in the past decade and the past 3 years in particular, increased listenership for it has started in early November and even late October.
Oh, wow.
So at one point, when it first came out, I think back in 94, you wouldn't hear it until December.
Right.
But now we're getting into October and people are starting to
play
this song.
Yeah, it's a little early.
Yeah. But not according to Mariah Carey, I'm sure.
But here's the thing about this, too. They did such a good job at making that song when they wrote it. I mean, the day they wrote it and released it, it already felt like it was a classic. There was something about how it was done.
Mm-hmm.
And so over the years, the farther you get away from it, the more it even becomes an actual Christmas classic. And I think it definitely is in that realm of classic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could put that up there with all of them. Like, you hear Rudolph or, you know, Santa Claus is coming to town. I think this is as classic as that, basically. Do we have some birthdays to do today?
We do.
Okay, I do too. Can I go first?
Please.
Do you mind?
Okay. I don't mind.
Because
we'll
end with you in the question. Hey, Wally, hope all is well. I was hoping that you could help me out here. Can you do a birthday shout out for my mom, Kathleen? Her birthday is Sunday, but we'd like to get it in today. This is Mark from Irvine, the guy that used to listen to me at Radio Disney when
Happy
he was a kid.
Birthday.
And still listens today. I pray that she has the best celebration and receives all the blessings that God has for her because I didn't get her a present. It's what I'm reading between the lines here on this one, Mark. And so, happy birthday, Kathleen. Your son's amazing. What do you got, Rock?
Cayenne wants to wish her little sister, Kara, a happy birthday. She's celebrating today. Kara is smart, funny, spontaneous, and brings so much fun into my life.
Nice.
Let's see. Susan Emma and Sarah want to wish Marcus, Susan's husband, and Emma and Sarah's dad a happy birthday. Celebrating tomorrow on Saturday, she said Marcus is an audiologist who enjoys golf, watching football, and Star Wars.
Nice.
And a big fan of dad jokes. And then Brayton on Sunday, his mom Jen is celebrating her birthday. Said she says she's turning 28, even though it isn't true. But she is an awesome and giving mom, even though she is sometimes overwhelmed by her kids.
Oh yeah, that happens. Kids will do that to you. My yes. mom could have been. I could have been an only child, and my mom would have been overwhelmed. Not her fault either.
Any mom would have been overwhelmed.
Yeah, for sure.
And maybe Brayton is in your situation because he's saying she's overwhelmed. Okay, so here's the question. What's the biggest generosity your mom has given to you?
Oh, wow. That is big. You want to start, Brock?
Sure.
I know you're super close with your mom.
Yeah, I love my mom. I will say in the broad spectrum of things, she worked her tail off to keep me in private school. Mainly because the public school that was I would have been stationed to was not a good one, not a safe one. And so her and my dad worked long hours to make sure they could pay for that tuition. So I'm very grateful for that. But the little thing that I remember the most is there was one day I came over to visit. I think it was on a Sunday afternoon. And my shoes were dirty for some reason. I'd walked in mud or something. I don't know. And I had said something about it in passing. And then I took a nap on the couch, fell asleep accidentally on the couch. But I woke up. And when I did, my mom was sitting over there and she was washing off my shoes.
The shoe fairy.
Yeah.
That's what moms do.
It's just, that's so sweet. I don't know why, but that was just the sweetest thing. She's done many sweet things, but that's one of them.
My mom was like you. She kept us in private school. Like, she worked and worked hard. She worked at the school. She had like a craft business on the side. Mm-hmm. Like, she always put the family first to her own detriment. Like, she was so great at that. And so I will never forget that. And I always appreciate that. And then like little things too. Like, I remember like she would always make our Halloween costumes or whatever, or anything we needed for school, because I always told her last minute. Always. I was that horrible kid.
You were that
kid.
Oh,
Mom, I gotta have 47 cupcakes for tomorrow. And this was back in the day when your mom wouldn't just go buy you cupcakes. Like, at least my mom didn't. My mom
she
was like,
make them.
I will make them. And she'd stay up late at night and make them with a smile on her face. She's the
and
best.
And you were one of five, right?
I know. That's so she had four other horrible kids doing this. So this is my last weekend with my mom. I guess we'll get into that with weekend plans. She's not dying. She's
like just going, while she's visiting.
Yeah, going back to Florida.
She's just visiting.
Yeah. Gavin.
My mom's greatest sacrifice or generosity was that she took like 15 years off from pursuing a career to be like a stay-at-home mom for all three of me and my siblings. And I just couldn't personally, like on my end, like, I just couldn't imagine growing up without my mom being there every single day. And I don't think I'd be as good of a, I would have been as good of a student without her being there, because she was always there to help or to make sure that we did homework in the first place. And she was always there to take us to practices and always there to help us after a hard day at school or something. So like, I really value that she, you know, didn't pursue her career for 15 years and she got back into it. And,
sure.
And I remember how often she would say that was a hard thing to do, to go from 15 years of not working to going back to school and being a teacher.
Very true.
Was very hard for her.
Moms are the best. Absolutely. All right, little weekend plans.
Weekend plans.
Spending time with my mom. She asked me, "Is like anything that I can make for you?" Because we have like a family cookbook, and she makes things for me that no one else can make. And so I got to give her a list of something to make for the last couple days.
Wow. So you're gonna work her to the bone.
Absolutely. I'm getting everything out of her before she heads
out.
Moms
are the best.
Well, yeah. I already got my order in for a hot cocoa tomorrow that she makes from scratch.
Nice.
And it's so good.
Oh my god!
But I gotta go get the marshmallows.
Worst.
Lady Rock.
Today, my parents are coming over to meet Beanie Boo Boo, my new little kitten. Aww. They're excited about that, and they're taking me to lunch. And it's great because every time we go out, my dad always looks at me and he says, "Your money's no good here, sailor."
And he's right. That's
and
what
he's
you do.
Right. So we're going to go out and eat. And then later on, I'm probably going to go over to a friend's house and we're just going to hang out.
It's funny because I say the same thing to my daughter, but in a few weeks we have to go down to Orlando to get her an apartment, and so I can see us getting ready to sign like the lease and all of the money you have to put down for deposits and all this other stuff. And I could see her waiting for me to look at her and go, your money's no good here, sailor. I'm like, your money's really good here, sailor. Get it out.
Exactly. And then Saturday, one of my best friends, Jerry Ann, it's her baby shower.
Nice.
But it's a surprise.
Oh, I hope she obviously doesn't listen to podcasts then.
That she does not.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
At least I don't think so.
Well,
she does listen to the show, though.
Okay.
She's in Huntsville.
Yeah.
So she listens.
All right.
But not the Aftercast.
Gavin?
Candle shopping.
Yeah. Nice.
I think that's like...
That's the best.
We haven't done... You know, we've been doing so much over weekends for a while now, but I think the only thing Haley wants to do this weekend... is go to Bath and Body Works, which is they're doing buy one, get one.
Oh, nice.
So we'll get a couple of those.
Yes.
That's all.
That is like that scene from Old School. So what are you doing this weekend? I don't know. Maybe go to Bath and Body if time allows. Or like Bed Bath and Beyond.
That's me really this weekend.
Oh, man. All right. Well, with that's going to do it for your Aftercast.
And as always, thanks for being a potty.
Thank you.